Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monster X Radio. We had a short holiday break there, but we're back now. It's December 30th, 2013. We're headed into a new year. We thought we'd have a show, kind of discuss the year in review. And with me tonight, as usual, is Bigfoot researcher Shane Corson. How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just getting over a little bit of a little bit of a cold that I surprisingly got down in San Diego, so my voice may be a little bit off tonight, but I'm glad to be here. Wouldn't miss for the world.
Nice. Yeah, you went on a little trip. Did you get some Bigfooting in, or?
No, I did not. I drove down from Portland down to San Diego. A lot of sightseeing, you know. It was over a week, you know, trip down there. So we stopped off in some places like Redding and whatnot, California, and, you know, some old stomping grounds. And didn't get any Bigfooting in, unfortunately. Did get a couple of, did talk to a couple people with some encounters. So, anyways, it was enjoyable. Got some sun and cold, but got to visit the family and said had a great time. But good to be back in the Portland, you know.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to New Year's Eve and a new year.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait for 2014 to roll in here. A lot of, I believe it. 2014 is going to be a great year. I really hope so. 2013 was built up to be such an awesome year for Bigfoot, and in a lot of ways it was, but in a lot of ways it wasn't. You know, it's kind of a big downfall for a lot of people, with so much put on Bigfoot's shoulders, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a big letdown in a lot of ways. But like I said, there was a lot of positive things that came out of 2013. And a lot of things that happened in 2013 that are going to leak into 2014 that, you know, I look forward to. So good things coming, I believe.
Yeah, I had high hopes, you know, with the whole Melba Ketchum study. It was really a letdown how that all turned out and the whole fiasco. I mean, I guess they spent over $500,000 on that.
At least.
And it's just, it really became a joke. I mean, her and her assistant, they spend so much time on Facebook just doing damage control. I mean, it really makes them look, to me, more foolish and less credible.
Well, really, even it, I mean, they got some credible samples. And the whole thing was botched. The whole thing was just botched. So it really was probably one of the biggest dampers of the whole year, because so many people, and I won't say that I was one of them particularly, because I didn't really have a whole lot of faith in the whole thing. I saw problems from the get-go, but, you know, you still hold out a little bit of hope that, you know, through trial and tribulation, maybe they'll get it right, but no, she didn't. And, you know, that's where we are at now with the whole Melba thing. You know, it's you have a couple camps, you know, the ones that are still backing her and those that are saying, no, she got it wrong. And in the scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything, because nothing's going to come from that, you know, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Erickson said he's going to release the video once Finding Bigfoot craze dies down and the haters settle down a little bit. But if you got the goods, you got the goods. I mean, I'm just at a point where unless you have Matilda in a cage, you don't have anything.
Mm. And that's understandable, you know, because, I mean, there are those that say they, you know, it's one thing to know Bigfoot exists, you know, and just live with that, and then it's one thing to say you know Bigfoot exists and then say that you want it proven. Well, if you want it proven to the academic world or the scientific world, you need a body. I'm not saying go out there and shoot one. No. But that's just what it's going to require. You can have the best footage out there. You can have a lot of things, but a body's what's going to be needed. But, you know, I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to go out there and shoot one. I'm going to continue to do what I do and try and provide compelling evidence, you know, like so many other researchers out there that have some really great stuff. You know, so... I hope for the credible researchers out there and the ones doing it the right way that they continue to do what they've been doing for years and years. And I really hope 2014 brings in some really good, just brings in some really good evidence and that they continue doing what they're doing. So.
Yeah. It's just really sad that this is what it's come to with that, with her project. And I don't really know what her, you know, end game is on all this, but it just seems that a whole lot of money was wasted.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole politics of the whole thing. Maybe she started out with good intentions, you know, I believe she probably did.
But,
I don't
know. You
know,
she has, wasn't she rated F by the Better Business Bureau for some of her other practices?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I just know where we're at now, and that's nowhere with that study.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, people can say, well, nobody's accepting it and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It's just not accepted. If you want Bigfoot to be proven, that's a bad avenue to go down because it's not going to happen. Pretty much a done deal. I'm sorry, but anyways. Yeah, I mean, Melba, like I said, that's one of the most disheartening ones of the whole year. There have been many others, you know, so many others. So many hoaxes that have been exposed this year, so many hoaxers that have really spent time and effort trying to hoax the community.
Who is the hoaxer of the year?
who gets that award? One. I think we know who that is, but I think that goes along with the douchebag award of the year as well.
Yeah.
But
that's winding down.
It is winding down, you know. But, you know, another thing I wanted to talk about on the show was Blog Talk in general and Monster X and some of the other shows out there. Not naming any other shows out there, but, you know, there's been some recent posts and tweets and whatnot about Blog Talk and some of the Bigfoot Blog Talk shows out there. I don't know if our name was actually mentioned, but, you know, it's not an easy thing doing Blog Talk, you know. I'm a researcher, and I have a job and everything, and so I have to work and try and squeeze in my research when I can. You know, I'm not right next to the woods. You know, so I can't just step out my back door and do my research. It's a good couple-hour drive to an area that I research, and, you know, it's also not easy, you know, getting guests and whatnot. So, you know, and Blog Talk's not free. We pay for this, you know. We're not getting famous off it. It's something, when I got into this, I thought, I'm going to provide something for an audience that wants to listen, because nobody has to listen. It's easy. You just don't join it. I want to provide something for an audience that can listen and gain some knowledge, some entertainment, and give feedback. And, you know, it's something mm-hmm. that Blog Talk does provide, is they give you an avenue where you can talk and get feedback through the chat room and whatnot, and I enjoy that.
Yeah. I mean, we're giving information and insight, and people can take it as they will, and it's easy to criticize from the outside, and we can't help it when Blog Talk, you know, screws up, and whether it be sound or cutting us off the air or this or that, you know, and you know, we give food for thought and, you know, hope people go away, you know, thinking and learning something. And I know I do from our guests and just from the discussions we have.
Right. And that was the other point I was going to make, was I don't just do this for the audience. I do it for myself too, because some of the guests we have on are friends of mine and some I don't know anything about them. And I enjoy listening to them, you know, and I'm going to give them a good window of opportunity to talk rather than listen to me rant and talk. I like to listen to these guys, and if they're talking and I've invited them onto the show, I'm going to listen. I hope the audience listens, and they appreciate that we're not jumping in 2 seconds, you know, every 2 seconds shouting stuff, you know, and giving my 2 cents, you know. I like to ask questions and everything, but I love to give the guests opportunity to talk and tell us what they're about and their ideas or you know, whatever have you. So that's something you know, Blog Talk provides, and that's something I got into this, you know. Like I said, it takes a lot of work to do these shows. Not just jump on a show and talk, you know. You know, you do research, you plan for it, you find guests, you line them up, you know, and, you know, I enjoy this, and I hope people enjoy it, and if they don't, just don't listen, you know, no offense, you know, it's, there's a lot of great show, Bigfoot shows out there, and a lot of crypto shows out there that are awesome. We're not the best. I don't claim to be the best by no means, but I do think that we provide a lot of, you know, a lot of great information, and we have some of the best on here. I hope in 2014, actually I know in 2014,
yeah,
we're going to continue doing what we do.
And I think we have a good balance, you know, whereas you're a full believer and, you know, I'm more skeptical, believe in the possibility, whereas, you know, a lot of shows are, they're full-on believers. So we present a lot of different angles and sides to things and dig into points and views that others might not.
Yes. You know, and I hold a lot of respect for you. And that's, you know, I love, you know, being the host and a co-host on here because, you know, it's that yin to the yang a little bit, but there's mutual respect and nobody's discounting the other, you know, per se. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a good team, I'll tell you that. We're a great team.
Yeah, and, you know, and we've looked at other venues. Someone in the chat room said, where is another venue for this? Well, I guess there are other venues, but Blog Talk wins hands down because they have the chat room. You know, the other, no one's been able to compete that I've seen for a platform like this. So despite all their drawbacks, overall,
drawbacks.
I think they're the best.
Yeah, no, there is drawbacks, obviously. Blog Talk, you want to choke it sometimes. But, you know, I love interacting with the chat room. I love having callers call in and ask questions, you know. Our guests usually love that as well. And it's all live, you know. It's not like, you know, pre-planned or anything like that. You know, it's live, and if somebody comes on with a tough question, the guest can't answer it. Well, they're on the spot. But, you know, that's why it makes a lot of sense for Blog Talk. You know, I hope Blog Talk will improve in 2014. I'm, you know, going to be talking to him myself because, I mean, we had issues and problems, but I think since we started Monster X Radio, it's really improved itself, and, you know, we've done a lot to make sure that we have all our ducks in a row. So, anyways, got a lot to talk about tonight, so, but I do believe we have a caller. You want to take him, Johnny?
803, you're on MXR.
Hey, Johnny and Shane, this is Apex. How you guys doing?
Apex,
hey,
I was
buddy.
I was hoping you'd call in. I didn't contact you, but you were on my mind. I was like, I really hope
I
Apex
did.
Called in. Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, man, it's all good. Hey, I just want to touch on something. Y'all were just saying, man, you know, I, and I'm sure many other people, do really appreciate what you guys do. And I'm glad you pointed out that, you know, you invest your time and your effort and your little bit of money and everything to keep the thing going. And I appreciate you, but I mean, I do. I'm glad y'all out there, man. You know, y'all trying to take advantage of the Internet and you share information and ideas. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Haters going to hate, man, but y'all doing a lot.
Well,
true that.
Hey, Vex, I really appreciate that, man. Like I said, you know, we do this for, you know, it's for fun, but we get as much out of it as I hope our audience does sometimes, you know, and, you know, we've had you on the show. I learned a lot from you and your area of research and some of your ideas that, you know, blew my mind in a lot of ways because I had no idea. And, like I said, you know, during that show, you talked a lot. And one of our criticisms is that we let the guests ramble on and not Monster X in general, but I guess some of the Blog Talk Bigfoot shows, but I include us in there, so. That we let our guests ramble on and talk. Well, that's the point of having a guest on the show, is that we want to hear from them,
yeah.
And a lot of our guests do too. And we do interject and talk and whatnot, but it's not. We're not trying to make the show about us. It's not making us famous. We don't want to make us famous. It's about listening and gaining some knowledge of our guests. And you were
yeah.
a great guest, man. You were a great guest.
Well, I appreciate y'all saying that, man. I will ramble on you a little bit, especially with that little bit of delay in there. I'll talk all over you, man.
Yeah, we provide a basic platform and just let it run. And,
hey, that's all right, man. I mean, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with talking and sharing information, ideas. I'm real glad y'all do what y'all do, man. And I'm sure a lot of people I think Paul or somebody in the chat room pointed out that people are having trouble this evening logging in. I'm one of those people.
Oh, okay.
And as a matter of fact, the player keeps stopping too, so I just, when you hang up on me, just leave me back there hovering so I can listen in. But,
okay.
Yeah, man, I wanted to break bad with some knowledge, man. You know, it's like I was telling Shane one time, there's a couple things I don't really tell too many people. And, you know, I think, you know, we all ought to share, like, little tidbits of information and stuff that you think might be important to other people that's curious about the same things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm only told a couple people about this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I've had about three or four now reports reported to me, and a lot of people contact me about different stuff in the air. And three or four times now, a Sasquatch has been seen inspecting or right at a grill in an all, like in somebody's yard.
Uh-huh.
In all cases, the same thing was being cooked on the grill.
Well, you told me this before, but I'll let you tell the audience because
yeah,
I've never tried it myself.
One of the few people that know.
It wasn't Walmart ribs, was it?
No, sir. I told my main man, Big Dog Mendoza, Felipe Mendoza. He knows, and I told Shane. I don't tell a lot of people all that stuff. In all cases, it makes as simple as it can be, it makes sense when you think about it. Just plain old chicken.
Hmm.
It wasn't ribs, it wasn't venison, it wasn't steaks, it wasn't burgers or hot dogs. It was chicken. The reason for that, have you ever met a man that didn't like the way chicken smelled cooking? And
yeah.
On top of that, my man can't just catch a chicken in the woods. He can catch a deer, a hog,
exactly.
What have you.
Yeah.
You know, but like a chicken something, he got to go steal from man if he wants one. Man.
Yep, you got to go raid a chicken coop. Which
yeah,
happens.
Interesting.
Saying,
you know, that's an interesting phenomenon, like a pattern. You know, I try to look for patterns, like reoccurring themes, and that tells you a lot right there. And it wasn't like different stuff was being cooked. No, I just happen to notice every time it's chicken. And the last time, it's been almost a year ago now, right? But I went and followed up on this site, and this man had not too far from here now in the Fort Myers area. And he had a big party of people over there and had a big old outdoor, like, brick barbecue and stuff. You could cook like a hog on there or whatever. But he had that thing loaded up with chickens, he said. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I believe he said it was, I ain't got a report from him or nothing, but he come out there and cut the light on, he heard something out there, and there he was, standing over the grill, looking straight down at it. You know, and it's that chicken, that smell of that chicken cooking, I think. Now, you know, I just can only speculate, but
right.
It's something about that chicken, man.
Hey, man, I mean, that's, like when you told me that, it never really occurred to me, you know, and something I didn't tell you was, on one of my initial encounters, was we were cooking hot dogs, but they were chicken and pork, and we got a great response out of that. Not even trying to, not even Bigfooting, just out fishing. But you know, maybe there's something to that chicken. I don't know. I'm going to try it next year.
Yeah, I remember.
Well,
that.
I mean, you know, there's people that tell you they won't eat a cow, or whatever. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure different ones be attracted to different things and stuff like that. But it just seems strange to me that. The few little reports I got to involve a grill is every time I was cooking the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, we all do cook a lot of chicken down here. Don't get me wrong now. We do like to eat us some chicken on the grill. But, you know, we cook a lot of other stuff, too. So I just thought that was a pattern that was worth noting.
Oh,
yeah. And
absolutely.
I'll tell you something I never told nobody. And I hope everybody takes some incentive to share what they know. But I'm going to go ahead right now and tell you something that I've seen in my first sighting, and I've seen again in 2012. And I ain't never told nobody this in reporting a sighting or in conversation otherwise or anything. And when somebody reports something to me, this is one of the things I ask them about, or if they mention, I know it's probably legit. The animal's hind end has a bare spot on his butts, on both sides. I reckon from sitting on the ground.
A bare spot?
Like a bare spot. It's some hair there, but it ain't like the hair on the rest of his body. You know what I'm saying? Like it's wore out.
Thin, right.
If when a witness tells me he had, like, the hair was wore off his butt, I said, you seen one, all right. Think about it.
Interesting.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
I thought I seen it. I'm pretty sure I seen it in 78, but I didn't get a real good look because of the underbrush and everything. But in 2012, I seen one running the same way. He ain't got a bear ass, but there ain't much hair on there. It's like a bear spot looking on both sides. Not like you can see skin, but like the hair is real short and thin or whatever. You know, it just looks different. Like he sits on his ass all the time.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense, though. I mean, I've never seen a Bigfoot's ass before, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you really get down and think about it, it kind of makes some sense. And it's like the chicken thing sounds kind of silly, but it adds up. And I sure enough seen it good in 2012. I knew then that's exactly what it is. He's got, like, a patch on both sides that the hair ain't, it ain't full like the rest of his coat.
Well, you got a lot of little secrets and whatnot, and I'm glad you share them here, Apex.
Yeah, well, I hate to steer us down the dark road of Bigfoot's rear end, but, I mean, you know, that's what we just ended up at. But,
well,
yeah, I'm just dropping, man, with a little bit of I do think I know, man. I ain't trying to bogart any information, so I hope somebody else ever sees that, they'll bring that up. But that's one of the little things, you know, I watch for when somebody's talking to me about something they've seen. If they say that, I'm pretty much convinced they probably don't see one.
Well, if there's any here on an ass, you know, you might want to pay attention, especially if it's 7-8 foot tall.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, I could make about 3 or 4 different kind of bad jokes right now. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But
have you been out researching at all lately?
Man, I ain't been out none at all lately, Harley, man. I got a new job, and you know, I've been pretty much working the whole time. But it's all good, man. I'm going to get out there at the beginning of the year and get in them woods, man. I got to get back. I'm missing it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
how's the weather
tough this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, it ain't so bad down here. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, 35 at night and 60 in a day or something like that. I mean, just good weather.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect weather to get up there.
Yeah, a little bit of rain in all the swamp I like to go to is kind of high right now, but in a few days, all that'll be straightened out. But I've been working there about every day but Thanksgiving and Christmas, so I ain't had much time to do anything.
Well, we know, you know, from having you on the show before, which you have done. You got any big plans for the upcoming year, 2014?
Man, you know, I was working on something big there, and somebody associated with the effort is no longer associated with the effort, I guess is the best way to put that.
Right.
And we lost a little bit of steam then, and somebody that was kind of, because all this stuff takes money now. Somebody was kind of providing some capital for the operation, backed off of the situation, too. So we're kind of in a warm idle on the back burner right now.
Okay, and that was you kind of, you were starting a new group up, if I remember right.
Yeah, well, I was talking specifically about the Sasquatch Existence Disclosure Initiative.
Yeah,
that's kind
yeah.
of slowed down. But I'm sure it's just a matter of time before we get that all straightened out again. I mean, you know, you're talking about flying people in and equipment and stuff. All that stuff takes money, man, not to mention people's time and stuff. I mean,
it's so hard to organize something and actually make it come into fruition, you know. It's so hard.
It is. I mean, it takes money, you know, the old saying. It
takes money and time, you know, and nobody gets paid doing this, so it's money out of your own pocket and time away from work and family and whatever have you. You know, it's hard. It's not easy. You know, I have all those issues all the time. You know, I have this passion, but life interferes with it, you know.
Yeah, life just keeps getting in the way, doesn't it? I feel you on that, man.
Yeah, I mean, me and Johnny have been talking about hooking up and possibly, you know, him heading out this way during the summer, you know, and maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, but, you know, we got jobs and a life, and thousands of miles apart, so
it is difficult to do stuff, and that's another reason, you know, people need to appreciate y'all, and I'm sure that they do, man. You know, y'all go through a lot to put the show out there, and I really appreciate y'all. And the show's good, man. I mean, y'all might not never win the blog show of the year or nothing like that, but y'all pretty solid every week, man. I try to get in there and listen when I can, you know.
Hey, Vix, I appreciate that, man, and I hope to have you on next year. You know, and hear some more, maybe some more secrets from you, and possibly, you know, some of your endeavors and whatnot.
Yeah, I love really the spear cam videos with the heavy metal.
Yep.
Badass.
Yeah, I need to go out there and make some more videos and try to find some good trackways and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I'm ready to go back, man, but, you know, like I say, it all takes a little bit of effort.
Well, when you do, make sure you share them on Monster X on our Facebook page. And, yeah, I'd love to see him.
Yeah, I've been wondering where you were, but I guess man's got to bring home the bacon.
Yeah, well, I got a new job, so I'm trying to do the right thing and work when I can.
Chicken.
And, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah, man, maybe I can afford to buy me a little bit of chicken and go to the woods and make a fire.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking right now. But, yeah, man, if y'all just put me on the back burner, I'll simmer back here and listen to y'all. If you will, because my blog talk is incurring some difficulties.
Okay,
hopefully we can improve upon that in 2014. We'll see what happens.
I hope so, man. Well, somebody else needs to call in and drop something on us, man. Share what you know now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
All right, early Happy New Year to everybody, man.
Yep. Happy New Year, Abex. Thank you.
You too,
bud. All right, buddy. All right, man. See you later.
See ya.
Man, I love
that's
that
awesome.
Guy. He that's awesome. He's you know, we had a great show with him, and he shared some of his theories, and you know, brought up the cryptid name to hide behind, which I never heard of and wouldn't have heard of if he hadn't called in and shared some of his encounters and stories knowledge.
I mean, it's cool that he goes out there by himself. You know, and does that, and I think there's something, yeah, you can go out in numbers, but I think there's something to going out alone, too, you know, as far as them feeling more comfortable, them not noticing, you know, as much, and I think you can be a little stealthy when it's just you sneaking through there.
No, there is, you know, I've done it. I'm not, you know, as I'm getting older and whatnot, I don't necessarily venture out by myself as much, especially in some areas where there's actually missing people where I venture to. So, you know, I think there's a big thing to be said about traveling in twos. You know, you just don't know what can happen. You could break a leg or have a heart attack or just fall, you know, to the elements or an animal or even some weird person out there. You know, there's just a lot
he's
of weird
his
things
spear,
nowadays.
Though, so.
Oh, yeah,
he's,
and a camera.
He's on
so at
guard
least we know what will
he's...
happen to him.
It's a... That's pretty cool. He throws those different filters on the videos and makes it look pretty sweet. And, if you guys want to call in, I put the number in the chat room, but it's 347-326-9859. And once again, at the break, we will play a song, and then after that, we will do a drawing out of people in the chat room for some free Bigfoot coffee.
And it is good coffee. It is great coffee.
Yeah, so if you're a guest in the room, sign in under a name or make a name, and I'm adding people here to the little program, and we'll pick a winner at the break.
Yeah.
But yes, call in and give us your insight. Talk with us. We'd love to hear from you.
So as far as some of the more positive things that happened in 2013, I mean, you had the Barcatino. Releasing it was filmed in 2012, but he released it in 2013, his thermal footage in the Sierras. It's not proof, it's compelling. And he continues to research in that area. In fact, he was up there this past weekend with Bobo up there researching up in the Sierras. They didn't really get anything good out of the area, but you know, he has the equipment and the experience, and I'm hoping that he can improve upon his thermal footage that came out that, you know, like I said, was compelling, and he did a lot of homework on it, and he didn't just throw it out there. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I think that's going to lead in 2014 as a positive thing coming out of 2013.
Yeah, and Derek Randall's thermal, well, actually the Browns,
yeah,
with the help of Derek Randall's and his equipment, they were able to get that therm in the end of October there, which made quite a stir in the community as well.
It made a huge stir, and for good reason. You know, it's with the amount of work they put into that and going back to the area and recreating it and getting it done properly and measurements and all that, you know, in my opinion, that's a Sasquatch that they filmed, you know. That's just my opinion. You know, they've got a lot of sound recordings that, I mean, they've released some of them, but a lot of the sound recordings, you know, I heard up the Sasquatch Summit have not been heard yet. You know, they found tracks there. There's, you know, they got recordings of wood knocks and some other stuff. And, you know, they got some more thermal imagery camera set up there that hopefully will produce even more compelling stuff. You know, I think, like Sarah Brown said, you know, hopefully what they've taken now as far as footage will be, thermal footage will be the worst of what they can get out of there. So I think that is, and I know they're still working on it, and they may have obtained more stuff that they haven't released yet. I don't know. But I think that's something positive for 2014 and something positive that came out of 2013, especially with the names involved and having the Olympic Project backing it up and providing the equipment and consultation and whatnot. It could be pretty phenomenal down the road here. I'm really, really excited about it. I'm really excited for Derek Randall's Olympic Project, and you know, and I know Derek and them are having some more expeditions planned where people can join them upcoming months. And I highly recommend, you know, I've been on them. They're awesome. You learn a lot, and you also get to hang out with the best. So recommend that Olympic Project there. And we've had Derek Randall's on the show, just like we've had Bart Catino on the show. And two respected researchers, you know, two guys that I respect highly in the field. And if I have questions, I know I can go to them, and they can help provide answers or feedback. Yeah.
Well, looks like we got another caller here. 330.
Hey, what's up, guys? Paul's from PGP. What's happening?
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
All right. Trying to get over from being sick, you know, but rough.
Everyone's got the cold, huh?
It really is bad. It's really bad this year. My wife got it. My little one got it. I didn't get it as bad, but my voice is a little hoarse tonight, and just about everybody I know has got it. So
I haven't got it yet.
Oh, lucky! And you're in Minnesota. You should have it.
It is cold. It's funny because when I lived down south for 2 years, never got sick once. As soon as I came back here, I got sick.
Crap just hit me all of a sudden yesterday. It's like, man.
Yeah,
how you doing, man?
Get it over with for the year.
Yeah, once a year, and then that's about it for me, you know.
Yeah, and for those of you out there listening, this is Paul from the Janoskwa Project. They're out of Ohio. We've had him on a few times, him and Dan Baker. They're doing big things down in Ohio, and I'm looking forward to what you guys have going on, and it'd be great to get to your Janoskwa Fest next June.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, coming up here in April, I guess we're going to speak a little bit down at the conference down there in Salt Park here, April, whatever it is, 26th or something. We'll have a booth down there, too, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to announce the Janoskwa Fest there at the conference, and then we're planning on doing an expedition on a certain area. Area 306 is what we call it. And
nice, I like that, having numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we're going to have a big expedition down there. What we're doing, we're slowly going to add some team members because we want to have two teams down there. There's two particular areas on that piece of property that, you know, we got our eye on, you know. So we'll have one team up on the top of the ridge and then down in. It's kind of like part of the swampy area down in there. We're going to have a team down that way, too. So hopefully it pans out pretty good.
Nice. That's in eastern Ohio?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Columbiana County.
I was going to say, your Danowska project just got kicked off this year, 2013. And it is another positive thing, I believe, that came out of the Bigfoot world this year. Your group has grown. One of the best groups on Facebook and in general, and as far as online, but also one of the best research groups out there as well. If you guys are going about it the right way, and you're one of the groups to watch for 2014, in my opinion. Got a lot going on for you in the state of Ohio, and a lot of positive things and a lot of positive feedback I get just about the Danowska Project in general. You know, I follow you guys, and I'm excited for you guys, you and Dan, and whatnot. What from 2013 for you was positive, in the Bigfoot world and for you personally and whatnot, and what do you look forward to in 2014 with the Danowska Project? And what in the Bigfoot world in general are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, 2013, actually, it wasn't, you know, too bad of a year, really. Because, you know, we started our group, you know, back in March. And, we peaked a little over 600 members already, you know, which is pretty good. And, we're pretty selective on our members because, you know, we don't want the drama. We want it, you know, user-friendly. We want it family-oriented where, you know, even, you know, kids can enjoy without, having to read, you know, some of the language and stuff like that that goes on, you know, in some other places, which is a good thing because, you know, we've had many people, you know, they'll either send me a message or they'll even comment in the room. They go, you know, we like, you know, visiting this group because it's relaxing, you know, because, you know, we try to have, you know, real good discussions and, you know, stuff like that. So it's doing pretty good. And then, you know, 2013, you know, that was the year that Dan had his sighting back in June, I think it was. And, you know, Sue had her sighting in July, I do believe. So, you know, that's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, this year coming up, you know, we'll be able to, you know, gather something really good, you know, as far as evidence or whatever. And like I say, that Area 306 we got, it looks like a promising area because, I mean, you know, the gentleman that owns that property, there's like basically three farms in that general area. This gentleman owns all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nobody around, you know, and it's way out in the middle of nowhere. And on some of the pictures that I posted, people go, well, you know, there's some cover there, but, you know, there's not a lot of cover for, you know, Bigfoot to be it. Well, really, you don't even need it because there's never anybody around. I mean, he'd be able to walk wherever he wanted, especially at nighttime. He could walk wherever he wanted, and you'd never see him, you know. So that's what we're going to focus on in 2014. And like I say, hopefully we come up with something good there. And like you said earlier, the only thing that's going to do it is a body. Well, we're not out to go shoot one just to get a body. So
right.
You know,
neither am I. You know,
I'm just hoping that, you know, maybe one day we just stumble across something. You know, I mean, eventually somebody has to stumble across something. You know.
Right. But you know, it's a joy just going out there and being in the field and getting a possible encounter or collecting evidence. You know, I mean. That's why we do what we do. We enjoy being out in the field and being around others and collecting evidence and you know, enjoying the mystery, you know. And that's something I'm really going to, you know, 2014, put my neck on the line a little bit here, but I really do, I'm not going to say it's going to be the year of the Sasquatch or year of the Bigfoot, you know, but I do believe it's going to be a really productive year. I really do. I think it's going to produce some of the best evidence today. I think there's going to be a lot of positive stuff coming out of 2014. I hope to help provide some of that. I really think I'm in a position that I can, if given some of the right tools and whatnot, I think I can, and I know you can, Paul, and your group. And but, I mean, that's half the joy of being out in the field is just experiencing the unknown, you know. So...
Yeah, getting outside, getting in nature.
I tell you what, you know, I haven't been doing any research in here lately, you know, especially during hunting season, you know, because there was a few times that, you know, I said, you know what, I went and I got ready and I stepped out the door and I heard gunshots, so I came right back in the house and I thought, no, not worth it, you know. And I've been wanting to, you know, get out there, you know, and it's like, man, it's like, you know, when you want to, you don't have time. When you got time, you know, people's out there hunting, and it's like, geez,
yeah.
You know. So here, what was it? It was Saturday, just this past Saturday. Yeah, two members from the BFRO came here to talk to me about my sighting that I had back in 2011. You know, I originally submitted the report in 2011, but the gentleman who took the report, he's no longer with the BFRO, so it just kind of just was there, you know what I mean? And nobody did anything with it. Well, the gentleman, you know, he contacted me, whatever it was, Wednesday or Thursday, and goes, man, what are you doing Saturday, you know? So, you know, two of them guys came over, and, one of them was Mark DeWerth that has the Bigfoot Conference down in Salt Fork. He was one of them, you know, and they came down here, and, man, we went out in the woods, you know, and I showed him everything, and, you know, it was just, you know, it was nice just to get out to do that, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, they was probably here a good, at least a good 3 hours anyway, because after we were all done, then we was all standing out in the driveway here just, you know, talking about Bigfoot and everything else. And, you know, it was kind of nice, you know, because I've been needing to get out in the woods for quite a while now. But
so you don't live that far away from where your sighting is and where you guys go
looking? No, it's walking distance.
That's sweet. See, there's a lot of woods around where I'm at and cool stuff to go exploring and hiking, but we have to go, you know, over an hour or two to get anywhere where it's probably, I guess you'd say, squatchy.
Right. Well, you know, around here, I think it was just one of them deals where, you know, I don't think they live around here. I think it's just, you know, must have been a route that they would take. You know what I mean? I don't think they stay around here. If they do, it's not very long at all, you know, because after I had my sighting, you know, there was like some ongoing activity after the sighting, you know, because the sighting was like pretty much the first week of September, and, you know, some of the weird stuff would happen all the way up until the end of December, and then there hasn't been anything since that I noticed. So,
yeah. And that's probably got a lot to do with the hunting season, I would imagine, and the weather.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really on high alert during the hunting season. You know, probably staying more in one area and sleeping less.
Exactly.
Yeah, one thing that kind of killed it last year was that there was a company back here drilling for gas wells and everything else, you know, so they're not going to hang around all that.
You know, you touched on the point of, you know, how we maybe will stumble upon a body, you know, since we've never found any bones, but, you know, that's what's interesting about it all is, you know, there is no fossil record, and I'm just wondering if, you know, you've heard of those giant skeletons, you know,
right.
They've been in newspapers, like in the 1800s and whatever, that the Smithsonian supposedly whisked away or whatever.
Supposedly they have them in, like, the basement of the museum. And that basement is so huge, and they don't have anything organized down there. It would take you, oh, my God, it would probably take you years to stumble across that.
Me, that's, you know, there's obviously some evidence of that. There's pictures, they were in newspapers, and, you know, I've seen a show on it where they did one here in Minnesota where a guy went, interviewed a guy who was there when they dug up some stuff, and it's just, to me, those could be Bigfoots.
It's, anything's possible, you know. You would think they would do something, you know, with them, you know, but...
Yeah, they don't want us to know for some reason. I mean, look what happened when that spotted owl, you know, was discovered. They have, I mean, it affects logging, tourism, all sorts of stuff. They'd have to box off probably half the country for habitat, and I don't know all the ramifications, but there's a... I don't know if they want us to know everything.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You can only keep something from people for so long. Eventually, it's going to come out. You know, somebody's going to slip or, you know, something. Something will happen. It eventually will come out, you know. So.
Yeah, the truth finds its way out.
Sure.
Well, regardless, you know, I'll keep plugging away, you know, doing what I do, and I know, Paul, you'll do the same, you know, because nothing will probably ever come from that either, so the truth will eventually come out, you know.
Yeah, there could be more skeletons, though, you know, obviously, if they found those, there's probably more.
Yeah,
oh, I mean,
they found them in quite a few different areas, you know.
Yeah, I think they found some in Ohio, didn't they? They know they found some in Minnesota and other places.
Well, I mean, if you read the stories, they found them in so many states. You know, I don't know how many are valid or if they're valid at all, but you're talking about Northern California, Oregon, you know, Utah, Nevada, Minnesota, Ohio, all throughout the United States. So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, but there are a lot of old newspaper articles and a lot of not-so-old newspaper articles and reports of these skeletons being found, you know. And like you said, I saw the same show you saw, Johnny, and, you know, it's all interesting, you know, who knows? I just really don't know.
Yeah. Because it's just, I don't know, it makes it harder for me to believe that, you know, it's an ape without a fossil record, and just since they're not in North America, you know, apes in Northern Hemisphere, for that matter. But, I guess those skeletons were, you know, more human-like, I would say. They were just giant, or like 8 to 10 feet tall or whatever they were.
Uh-huh.
Kind of fits the profile. That one in Minnesota, I think, the guy claimed, this was a more recent one, they didn't have pictures, but he was buried with some Native American, I think, women around him. And that was an interesting show. And a lot of that stuff can't be dug up because it's, you know, sacred Native American grounds and... So I think we will stumble upon something someday.
Speaking of show, Did you guys watch that 2-hour special last night?
You know, I watched part of it, and then I had to go to bed. I caught like
I posted a question in my group about, the one witness, said that he saw, the creature.
What show is this?
Finding Bigfoot last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trying to start a fire.
Fire, yeah.
Nice.
So I asked a question in my group, what's everybody's opinions on that, because, I've never heard of any reports of anybody, reporting anything like that, so.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I didn't see that part of the show, how did they describe it trying to start a fire? Could they maybe just, was it clanking rocks together, or, what was the scenario?
I don't think it really said. If it did, I missed it, because yesterday I was sicker when I am today, and I was just kind of laying in bed watching the show. The witness said, it was trying to use fire,
I have a hard time watching that show anymore. It kind of bores me. But to me, personally, I think it goes against everything Bigfoot. You're trying to remain elusive. You've been undetected in 2013. Fire is going to give you away bigger than anything.
Yeah, I don't think they're capable of fire.
You're going to be sending smoke signals to everyone, and
they may be fascinated by fire. They may know that food comes from fire.
They don't need fire.
I don't think they're capable of fire. I think
they have hair.
We would find when I go out in the middle of nowhere. Unless it's a camp set up by a human, I never find, or an old Indian, burnt rock where I know Indians have been there, hundreds of years ago or 100 years ago. There's no evidence I've ever found in all my travels of a Bigfoot starting a fire or anything remote to that nature. I just do not find that relative, in my beliefs,
Yeah, I've never come across, I've come across, some camps, you could tell, it was people because, there's a beer can there and a pop can over here,
Yeah.
Yeah, but out in the middle, I've never, and that normally that kind of stuff, it sticks out like a sore thumb because normally it's in the clearing anyway. And
yeah, I've been out in the middle of nowhere and seen a smokestack or smoke, and I've gone to those areas, and it's always turned out to be human or or a fire, but I've never.
And it goes against their habitat too of being in the Pacific Northwest and where there's heavy rainfall, there's Bigfoot. These are the hardest places to start fire.
No, you're so true. Some of these elevations, I find it hard to start a fire, period, especially when everything's moist.
Yeah, even with a lighter.
I have to bring an accelerant, of some sort usually, or something of that nature to get a good fire going. It's tough. It's not easy to start a fire, Like you said, you start a fire out there. Sometimes, if you start a fire in some really heavy timber, you got some real thick forest and you're in the middle of it, it'll cipher through the trees and you won't get a good view of the smoke, but it does cipher out and you usually can, and nothing else, you can smell it. If you can't see it, you can smell it, so.
You would think we'd have more forest fires if that was the case.
It. All the forest fires are from Bigfoot.
We wouldn't even have a forest anymore.
Well, I can only imagine the size of a Bigfoot's bladder. Maybe they just put it out on the spot. I don't know.
Well,
here comes
the top
here
of
comes
the hour.
Human. Let's kick some dirt on it.
Yeah.
It's the top of the hour. We'll take a quick break and then want some people to call in and we'll do the drawing for the free coffee. So stay in the chat room and you'll have a chance to win. We'll be back shortly here. Thank you. All right, we're back. Yeah, it sounds
back.
Like there's been a lot of people trying to get in the chat room that haven't been able to get in, huh?
Yeah,
it
took me, I don't know, 7 or 8 times, and I ended up having to go through Google Chrome to get on.
Oh, interesting. You tried a different browser, huh?
Yeah.
I believe someone
mm-hmm.
else tried Firefox, so.
Well, we got a message, so we added Cindy, Thomas, Randy, Stefan. They've been listening, but I haven't been able to get in the chat room, which sucks, and we're going to have to mention that when we get a hold of Blog Talk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, again, we're going to pick a winner here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And the winner is Bigfoot Coffee, Ape X.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow. Dang. Wow. Hopefully everybody doesn't drop off now. We'll need to do more drawings down the road here, though, for sure, because I have some t-shirts I want to give out. But right on. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Ape, you can just, you know, get a hold of me, and I'll send you to Gunner, and you can give him your information, and he'll send you the coffee.
Good deal.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I got some. I haven't tried it yet. I got to grind me up some here soon. And looks like some good stuff. It's a cool package, cool idea. I think it's a great thing for the Pacific Northwest. Perfect place for him to have a business.
Oh, yeah, Tillamook. You know, he's on the coast, but it's like a supposed, it's a very, got a lot of encounters in that area in Tillamook County, and it's supposedly a travel route. Who knows, but it's an awesome area. Was my name in the drawing there, Johnny, or no?
Yep.
Oh, it was? Oh, I didn't know that.
Not me, though. Because I already have some.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have accepted it anyways.
Yeah, but, I'll do a screenshot of this. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a random thing picker, and you just put everyone's name in, and voila.
Excellent. and speaking of, that's another positive thing to come out of 2013 was some, you know, Bigfoot coffee that I have tried, and it is really good. Another positive thing, and guess what? That's going to carry into 2014, because that coffee can be found. Gunner is just getting his whole website made up and whatnot, but it is something to look forward to if you're, you know, and we will be doing more giveaways, and maybe I'll give some more coffee away or a shirt or two or something, so just for, you know, our listeners that are dedicated and whatnot, and we do have a lot, so I know this is a Monday, and it's we're having problems with Blog Talk, and it's Monday in general. A lot of people are working. Some people have it off, but you know, I like to give a little something to some of our viewers that listen in and contribute each week, so thank you all.
Yeah, me and Dan have been talking about having TGP radio, you know, but you know, it can't interfere with Monster X radio though.
Oh yeah.
I won't be able to call in or listen in, you know.
Oh no, you'll be banned. You'll be banned.
You'll ban me for life.
I'll ban you for life. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I'll tell you what, like I said before, it takes a lot of work to do this, you know. I'm not worried, but come the summer months, I'm going to be in the field a lot. You know, I do have to work, so Sundays, you know, whether I may get back late, I'm still going to do this show, but hopefully I can do some research during the week and then continue on to the weekend. But it takes a lot of work to do shows, but Paul, you guys would have a lot to talk about with your own research, and, you know, I don't share a whole lot on here because I like to get a lot of guests and invite them on and hear what they have to say. But 2014, I do plan on sharing a little bit more, maybe, if people are interested, on my research and some of my findings, you know. In the area that I'm researching, I've had about three reports from this area that I'm researching in of Sasquatch activity. And I just got back from San Diego, and there was another one in the same exact area that I research that I found fascinating. It ties in exactly with what I've encountered and others have encountered in this area. And this happened back on August 30th, which in this area, June, July, and August are the hottest months, with August being the hottest month in this area. But basically, there was this father and son fishing out in this lake, and in this research area. They were out there fishing, and the father had found this man-made raft, you know, probably out of timber. I found it before. And he's out fishing, and he started yelling for his son, and his son wasn't responding. He was getting ticked off, so he brought the raft on shore, and after doing some fishing, and was yelling for his son. And eventually, his son came running towards his father, and the kid was about 11 years old. And the kid said that he was fishing, and he was bringing a fish up on shore, and it was flopping around when he heard some big sticks break, and he turned around, and there was this Sasquatch behind a tree staring at him. And he got a good look at the face and the hands, apparently. I'm trying to think here. Let me see. He said that the hands looked like an old man's hands. It was black, dark, and brown. And he mentioned the nose specifically. He said the nose was wrinkled. It was a wrinkled nose. And he said that the kid said he threw a stick at this thing and it didn't faze it. I don't know if he did it out of fear or what. He threw a stick at it and didn't face it, and that's when he took off running. He left the fish and everything behind. This thing, he said it was huge, and he called it a Bigfoot. But it's in the exact area where I research in, and that's like the third one from this area in that month that I've taken of August, taken in. And I had my own encounter of a tree being pushed over in that area with some grunts and stuff with a friend. And it's in the area of my initial encounter as well and other research. But, you know, this area I'm going to be doing a lot of research in. I'm going to really, buckle down and get out there more often. It's a little bit of a drive for me. It's in the Mount Hood National Forest area, and it's fairly remote, but it's accessible. So I hope to get out there more and really get some compelling evidence. This area, to me, it's phenomenal. I can't talk about it enough as far as what can be taken out of this area. And there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of reports that are hard to find, but you can find them. I've met a lot of witnesses that aren't online that talk about this area. So that's something positive for me that I hope to share in 2014. Maybe I'll share a lot more information and some of my findings in that area.
What year was that, Shane? Art was asking in the chat room.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was this year. That was this year. Like I said, I've taken three reports from this very area.
How do these people go about reaching out to you, or how do they know to reach out to you?
Well, sometimes I hear through reports through the BFRO. I'm not a member, but I hear through reports from them. Sometimes I find them online, and other times through friends that tell them to talk to me. Sometimes I, not this year particularly, but sometimes, I search people out that I've heard of. I've had these encounters. I've interviewed quite a few witnesses. I've driven lots of miles to interview witnesses that are out of state sometimes that have been to Oregon and have had encounters. So all areas, I get all sorts of stories from different venues and areas, whether it's online, via phone, word of mouth, I just, with my research area, if it's in the general area, I'm fascinated and I want to hear about it, and I'll do whatever it takes to hear about them. And a lot of these people are very shy. A lot of these people don't want to talk about their encounters or hesitant. And those are the ones I want to hear most, because it seems like, you know, they're legit. You know, they're not out to hoax anybody. They just want to, you know, they want to know what they saw, but they don't want their names out there and whatnot. But
I know that, you know, some people that actually want to report what they had seen, it's like, you don't have to find them. They'll find you, you know.
Exactly.
I've had quite a few people get a hold of me and, you know, hey, you know, this is what I see. What do you think it is? And, blah, blah, blah. And you know, here, I managed to snap one picture and, you know, mm-hmm. It's going on and on. But,
yeah, you know,
people that want to report, they'll find you, you know, one way or the other, you know.
Right, just like Bigfoot. if you're out there and they want to, you know, they're curious, they'll find you, you know. And chances are, when you go out looking for a Bigfoot, you may not find anything, but if they're in the area, they'll find you. They're curious. They love, you know, they're curious of smells and all this, just like any other animal would be, or any other human would be, you know, in that correct scenario. You know, I mean, that's the cool thing about it, is that a lot of people go out looking for Bigfoot, and they get disheartened when they don't find anything. But the cool thing is, you're not always going to find something. You're not going to hear something or see something, but, you know, there's those rare occasions that you do, and it's life-changing when you actually get that experience. And, you know, for that father and son, they packed up and got the heck out of there. They didn't want anything more to do with it. But for me, I'm like, I want to get out there right now, but it's just not feasible for me to get in the area. It's snowed in, and it's wintery, you know, it's a winter season. I'm going to actually probably do a snowshoe trip in there next month or two, just to see what I can find. But summer, bring on the summer, man. Bring on 2014. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited to get out in nature more and, you know, do some research myself. And it's just a great opportunity to, you know, I look at it as kind of exploring and documenting nature, you know, in search of Bigfoot. And I'm also going to do some, you know, dog man research in Wisconsin, and which leads me to think here. We're going to do one more giveaway. I got a book here written by Linda Godfrey, Monsters of Wisconsin, Mysterious Creatures in the Badger State. So let's run it through the random thing picker again.
I got to see this.
All right. And the winner of Monsters of Wisconsin is... Art,
no way.
Art has won the book.
No way.
This thing's rigged, I'm telling you.
Well, there's not a whole lot of names, but yeah, to go through, so your chances are pretty good.
Yeah, we're just picking people out of chat right now, I guess, so.
Yes, so I don't know if you're on Facebook, otherwise just send me a message. And we will get you your book.
Excelente. Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah. It's just an interesting state. There's a lot going on there. And, you know, Linda's done a very good job of taking people's stories and documenting and investigating. And, you know, there's all sorts of cryptids going on over there.
Yeah, man, I know you're interested in a lot of the... Dogmen, and you got the what's that? You got the DFRO. I love that name.
Dogman Field Research Organization, a group on Facebook and a blog as well. I'd really like to get out there and do some research with Linda.
Well, that'd be awesome, and you know, maybe in we had talked about this before, but in 2014, possibly. Doing like a live show on the field, you know, it might be kind of hard to do. I don't know. I'm not a tech guy when it comes to that, but it would be pretty cool to do a live show on the field. Hopefully not too crazy and not, you know, like Finding Bigfoot style. But, you know, who knows? If people are interested in that, it would be something I'd love to do.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That would be very cool. I'm sure we could figure out a way to do it.
Oh, I'm sure. Paul, you guys were talking about doing something similar. I know Dan got a hotspot sort of thing.
What's that?
I said, were you guys thinking about doing some live feed out in the field in 2014? I know Dan had talked about he got a hotspot or something.
Yeah, they went out. Him and Sue went out and got. Got one of those. I guess you call it a hotspot. Yeah.
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 I don't know much about them. I don't usually
it's through Verizon. It's like you can hook up.
Uh-huh.
Connect, whatever, up to 5 devices wirelessly, and all it does is use the cell phone towers. So,
okay.
If she wanted to, she could take a laptop out there or, even like her iPad or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I don't know a whole lot about those. I don't know if you got to plug them in to make them work. I don't know if they're rechargeable. I don't know anything about it. But, I did acquire a, it's kind of like a booster pack, but it does got an inverter built into it for 110 volt. That's, portable, and, man, you can run a laptop off of it if you need to. I mean, you can recharge cell phones. Even got a USB port on it. I acquired one of them a couple months ago, to take out in the field, in case we need any type of portable power for anything. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I got something similar myself, yeah.
It was kind of on the expensive side, but.
Yeah.
I suppose it all boils down to reception.
Right. In some of the areas I go to, it's... there's no reception whatsoever.
Yeah.
Actually, most areas I go to, there's no reception whatsoever. I remember one time we were out in the field. This is 4 or 5 months ago, and I had to make a phone call. And I hiked and hiked and hiked to all the peaks, and I had one little bar, and I couldn't make a phone call. I tried. But I sent a text, and it didn't say that it sent, but it did actually make it out. I didn't get a reply, but fortunately the message I had to relay didn't make it out, and I was lucky. But, yeah, it's very hard to get reception in some of these areas, and if I were to do some sort of live show, it'd have to be within reason. And depending on how it was going out there, it'd probably be towards the end of the expedition or trip out or whatever have you, that, because there's so much going on and you're trying to squatch and pay attention and do your thing out there, that doing a show would be very hard to try and get off the ground and make happen.
Well, that's like our team. When we go out for an expedition or something, if we just go out to just check on a property or, somebody, invites us out, hey, come see what you think, we go out and we just, check things out. But if we actually have an expedition, I bring extra people. I give one person a regular camera and I tell them it holds 10,000 pictures. Fill it up, and then I have another person that has the camcorder, and it'll record. What is it? It's got like a built-in hard drive in it instead of a flash card, and it holds like 7 to 8 hours of HD video. And I'll give them that, and then if anything, I'll strap on my GoPro. Because I don't want to, I want to get out there and do some research, not fumble around with a camera. So I have people
yeah.
that, you know, do that for me. You know what I mean?
Right. That's the way to go.
So, yeah, that's, you know, if you got the extra manpower, that's the way to do it. That way you can focus on, you know, different things instead of focusing on, oh, I forgot to hit the record button, or, oh, it's not recording, or I'll let somebody else worry about it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I know.
And
I agree with that.
You got the extra manpower. That's the way to go. Here, there. That's your job, and then that's your job, and then and the rest of us know what we're going to be doing. So,
Cool. Well, looks like we got a Art online.
Oh.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Art.
Hey.
You're not calling already
well,
for the book, are you?
What's that?
I said you're not already calling in for the book. We got to send it to you.
No, I just had to give my speech.
Oh, okay.
My winner speech. No, that's
exactly.
Funny. I seen the you know the what was that the thing about the show being on. I'm like, man, I want some coffee. God, that's not good. It's good coffee.
That's your book. It is good coffee.
Big time. I'm gonna have to order some of that stuff and check it out. But that
Should.
Book sounds really interesting, though, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linda does a good job of really just documenting and interviewing people and putting it all on paper. I really like her. She's one of my favorites, and we had her on as a guest one time, and she just kind of keeps under the radar and writes her books and does her thing out there.
And she coined the phrase the dog man, right? I mean, the Wisconsin.
Yeah,
the
Beast
of Bray
Road.
Beast of Bray Road. Yeah, she coined that. You know, and that's a crypto legend now in the field, you know. I mean, you talk about dog man, you got to mention the Beast of Bray Road.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's doing research herself.
Yeah.
She's got trail cams out and all sorts of stuff.
So are you interested in the dog man or just, I mean, what's your interest?
Well, it sounds pretty interesting. It kind of blew me away because I had no idea that they existed,
oh.
of course. But, you know, watching the stuff that Scott Carpenter picked up
mm-hmm.
and, hello, did I lose you? Oh.
Yeah.
Nope.
yeah, you are here.
Yeah, I had no idea. It's interesting as hell about the whole thing. I've got a question. For everybody that can hear me tonight, on you know a lot of people are talking about getting a Bigfoot body. Okay, how would you feel about getting a Dogman body? Would it be the same? Since they seem a little bit more evil, or you know a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah.
Or...
well, I'll start out with this that. My personal opinion is a lot of the Dogman sightings are actual Sasquatch sightings, misidentified. I think a lot of the Dogman sightings are misidentified. I've never seen a Dogman. I've done research on it because I'm interested in the subject. I've never seen one, but I do believe that a lot of the Dogman sightings can be explained as Sasquatch or something else. Sometimes a wolf or a large dog. Some can't be explained. I admit some are fascinating, and they don't fit in the realm of Sasquatch, and so that I can't explain. But if dogmen were to exist, I'd feel the same way as I do with Sasquatch because it's an animal, and I don't want to go out and as a hunter, you know, you don't go out and shoot something unless you're going to eat it. And I'm not going to eat a Sasquatch. I'm not going to eat a dogman.
No.
I don't need it. I know Sasquatch exists. I don't need to prove its existence by shooting one. I go about other means, you know, and it's hard. You know, it's not easy. It's hard. I'll let, you know, if I stumble across a body, which is really, really, really remote, you know, but I'll, you know, I feel the same way as, with Dogman as I do about Sasquatch, and no, I would not shoot one to prove it, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah, the whole Sasquatch thing is interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to prove it, but I want to prove it to myself more than anything. If I see one, that's good enough for me. You know, that's an interesting theory that the Sasquatch, you know, could be dogman, but a lot of these reports are in southern Wisconsin where there's not you're typically bears. It's not typically wolves, so, or Sasquatch for that matter.
Right.
It's more of a farms, and there is woods, but it's, you know, a lot of farms and small towns and stuff. So I had a theory that maybe if they were Sasquatch, they're a smaller Sasquatch with pointier ears because they'd need to hear better, and they'd have to be smaller to avoid, you know, kind of being seen, and they'd have to hear better as well.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
who knows?
Evolved into its own little farm kind of Squatch. But they could be wolves.
Yeah,
I mean, if people aren't used to seeing wolves down there, and if you saw a wolf stand up on its hind legs, it'd probably scare the crap out of you.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be like 5 foot something tall if it was up on its hind legs, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I've read a lot of encounters.
Go ahead,
Art.
Was she saying that they were a certain height range, generally?
Yeah,
I
think she was saying between 5 and 7, shorter than Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's like a big, big wolf staying on its hind legs, you know. Pretty good sign. I remember I called in that night, and I asked her if any had been seen in Utah, and she said around the Skinwalker Ranch area. I've heard about that, too. But there have been more seen, but people are like, you know, if I tell anybody about this, they're gonna freak, they're gonna laugh, they're not gonna believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you
say it's a werewolf.
The Skinwalker Ranch
is
Skinwalker Ranch is very interesting because, you know, they have a lot of different, I mean, you know, it supposedly you got UFO activity, paranormal activity, Bigfoot activity, you know, dogma activity. So it's an interesting thing. It's it sounds very paranormal with all the activity they have out there. The only encounter here in Oregon that I've heard of a dogman sighting was in Albany, Oregon, which is about 2 hour drive from where I'm at. And this guy was he's written books too. I can't remember his name. I'll need to post it later, but.
Yeah, you should. I don't know if I have it in my database. I'd like to get that in there if I don't.
Yeah, I think I will. I'll find it and post it later on your DFRO site. But he was in his cabin, and they were on their deck, and they saw something swimming in their little pond or lake, I believe, next to his house. And it what he described didn't sound like a Bigfoot. It sounded like a dogman. And he had said that it was a dogman with pointed ears and whatnot. Could have been misidentified as a lot of things. I don't know, but I'll post that later. It was the only one that I found that was kind of uncanny and didn't quite sound like a Bigfoot, and it was large, too, so, yeah. Could have been a bear, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought Bigfoot was weird, but Dogman is, like, over-the-top weird.
I know.
It's been two sightings,
when you go past,
I guess,
that,
here. I was going to say, there's been two sightings in Minnesota that I've seen. That there's one area that I'd like to investigate come spring.
The Bray Road area?
Okay. No, it's here in Minnesota. It's about an hour outside of the Minneapolis, and it's a park reserve where they don't, in part of this area, they don't even allow people, I don't think, to go on because they're trying to just keep it so natural. And
that's weird.
Regenerate. Yeah, I know. It's a good place for a dog, man.
Yes, it is. When you drive past that area up on Skinwalker Ranch, that area is just weird. On the main highway that runs through there, the Highway 40, that is just weird. It's strange.
Yeah,
it's right on the reservation.
We'll have to do a show on that. I know others have. It's been pretty well documented, and there's been movies made about it and whatnot, but be interesting to do a show on that, on Monster X, and you know, and discuss that topic, because like you said, it is it is interesting and very strange, I have to admit. Unexplainable.
That gives me a good idea for a guest, possibly George Knapp.
Yeah.
From Vegas.
Yeah. I've heard of him, and he's been on my radar, so we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, wasn't he a co-author to that book, Hunt for Skinwalker Ranch? Something like that? I thought he was.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
George Knapp, yeah. I have another name or request for a guest, possibly, that Alex Munoz.
Yeah,
Walker's guy.
Walker.
He was the guy that really got me possessed big time. He's pretty cool. His story is interesting.
Yeah, I used to listen to his radio shows once in a while. I like him. He's got a good voice and personality for this.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
I love his shows big time. And then Arla was his co-host on that.
Arla Williams.
Really cool. Yeah. Hey, yep, Johnny, send me your email in that private you sent me, and I'll get
hold
of
you. Okay, sounds good, Art.
I'll send you my address and all that stuff.
That's awesome that you won then. I forgot you were on the show with Linda. That's perfect.
Yeah. Cool.
Works out great.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll take this shirt. It's just like an extra, so, yeah. I'll be all right. Toss it in.
Good stuff. All
right, gentlemen, I'm going to hang up.
All right,
man.
Thanks for listening in, man, and congrats on the book.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun. See ya.
Yeah, you know, and we got some exciting guests that we're already working on for next year. And I'm definitely excited about a couple people that have been contacting me and that, you know, someone contacted me and recommended a guest. So I contacted him and working on getting him on the show. And some of these people, too, aren't in the forefront of everything and they don't post everything on Facebook, but they got a lot of stuff going on. And it's going to be exciting to hear from them. And if you guys know anyone or you want to be a guest, just let us know. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Like I said, I've got a lot of, I won't say a lot, but I have quite a few guests interested in joining us. Some have been on other Blog Talk shows and some haven't. Bigfoot's my thing, so I kind of seek out guests in the Bigfoot world, and I do seek out others, but really look forward to some of the guests going to be on, and guarantee they will bring a lot to the table, and they will bring their stories, and a lot will be fascinated to hear what they have to say, and, you know, it's always nice, you know, I don't mind having guests that have been on other shows before, or Blog Talk shows before, because especially if a good period of time has passed, because they usually bring something new to the table, you know. Derek Randall was a perfect example. You know, he's been on TV shows and radio Blog Talk shows and what have you, and he brought some new stuff to the table for us, and we'll definitely have him back on the show down the road sometime. We have quite a few others lined up in the upcoming year that are not just in the United States, but just outside the United States, that will bring some of their stories and encounters that will that fascinate me, and I hope they fascinate you and provide a little more evidence and whatnot to the table.
Yeah. You know, hopefully it's going to be a big year. Like you say, we can't... We don't know if it's going to be the year of the Squatch, but it's going to be a year of an adventure, a year of getting out in the woods. I think one of my resolutions is going to be to get out there more and explore.
Well, I hope so, because that's one of my main goals this year is to really double down. You know, I get out quite often, but 2014, I really hope to get out, double down, and I made a lot of contacts this year. I've got an opportunity to get some equipment that I've been wanting, for my area that I venture to and research. It is a phenomenal area with a lot of activity. I can't speak enough about it. It is really phenomenal. I wish I could get out there more. I wish I could spend a month or two out there. Who knows what I could come back with, but that probably won't happen. But if I could spend 3-4 days a week out there at a time, I'm gonna be a happy camper, and I hope to share that with a few other researchers and maybe a few other folk that are not necessarily researchers, but that can provide something to the table that I'm looking for, and see where we go from there. It's gonna be an exciting year in 2014. Like I said, there's a lot of research out there with some promising stuff. There's a lot of people that are not well known or not even on online that have some good stuff going on that they've been holding on to that I hope they will share or you know, bring to the table for everybody to, you know, like Abeck said, you know, share their little tidbits and knowledge for everybody to, you know, kind of figure out, you know, and listen to.
Yeah, well, we got another caller here. Let's
Excellent.
Let him on, 814.
You're hey, guys, how are you doing tonight?
Hey.
Hey, is this Jay?
Yes, it is.
All
hey.
Right.
Hey, I'm sorry, I'm recognizing voices.
You're good. That threw me for a loop. Jay, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you guys?
Good. It's been a pretty good year for you, huh? I mean, you got a lot going on for you, man. And we've had you on the show before, and it was a great show, especially with the, you know, the sea serpents and whatnot.
Jay Cooney of Bizarre Zoology blog.
Yeah. So what do you got going on, man?
Not much. I've just been trying to finish up some articles before the school year starts again.
Yeah.
From this
yeah,
break.
Kind of, you've been kind of pumping them out there, and I've been reading
yeah.
one, and I love them. I love them. Another fascination of mine has always been sea serpents and whatnot, especially in the ocean, because it's so vast and unknown. It's just one of those areas that I don't get the research, but I love reading about.
Yeah, it was an interesting year for the sea serpent research.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was a lot of stuff that headlines, huh?
Yeah, and you you know, you brought a lot to the table. I mean, you're you know, your posts and whatnot are and blogs, I mean, they're very detailed and sometimes they're a little bit over the head as far as words and expressions that a lot of people don't understand, but you know, you explain it really well and whatnot. But you've come under fire recently with a couple of your ideas?
Yeah, it happens, though. It's understandable. A lot of people have differing viewpoints.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of leading
yeah.
the pack for the water cryptids, aren't you? Out there
yeah.
in this. So tell us a few things that you thought were exciting then.
Well, in August of this year, two middle-aged men were kayaking off of Maine, and they reported that they saw this animal that had a 3-foot-long horse-like head, that the skin was apparently scaly. And so, I mean, it was just interesting for me to hear about this because in these reports, similar reports have dated back for almost centuries, and such animals have been reported in Maine before. So it's pretty exciting.
And, yeah, Maine's got, like you said, Maine's got a history of these sort of sightings. Do these serpents or water cryptids have a name out there?
Well, for the more like horse-headed type animals, it's been the term merhorse has been coined,
yeah.
and I discussed this here before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just want to refresh some of our listeners. Now, do you think it could be similar to the Cadborosaurus?
Yeah, I definitely think that some of the Cadborosaurus reports might have been merhorses. But the problem is that the horse head type description, you also have the possibility that people are seeing swimming moose or gray seals also have horse-like heads.
Well, what about the scales, though, you just mentioned?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering whether they're scales or they might be partially dried hair or maybe rough skin with scars like on elephant seals. Because
yeah.
there's a lot of reports from merhorse type animals have been hairy bodies or rough skin.
Right. That's something, you know, as a Bigfoot researcher, that I find in common with the ocean is that you just get a short glimpse of whatever you're seeing and you have to take it in perspective as to what you just saw and take into account what lives in that area and what it could possibly be before you make a judgment call on what it is, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because, the ocean, you know, it's dip and dive, and the woods, it's, you know, hide and seek, so.
Mm-hmm. But there have been some, quite a few reports where quite trustworthy eyewitnesses have seen them for a period of time, and statistical analyses of the reports show that there actually are quite a few reports that are at close ranges, so it's rather intriguing.
Well, the close range ones are fascinating, as well as especially people that live on the sea or work on the sea for a living that see something that, you know, they can't identify, and they've pretty much seen it all. Those are the ones I find the most fascinating.
Yeah, is they know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And there are also military workers at sea that have put reports of unknown animals in the log books. And which what is interesting is that if you hoax a report in the log book, you can be fined. And so there's really no reason for these guys to be hoaxing these sightings.
No, they're literally putting their neck on the line there, because they will be held accountable for what they report.
Yeah,
and they will have to explain exactly what they saw, you know. And a lot of times they may be ridiculed for what they saw or what they thought they saw. So, you know, and that falls in line with the Bigfoot world too. You know, you got some of these guys that report stuff. You know, they kind of, you know, especially in the line of work they do, whether it's forestry, you know, fire department, military, police department, whatever have you, you know, they really put their necks on a line, and by reporting it, because they are going to be asked what they saw, and, you know, there's a lot of similarities there, so that's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maine, so, do they get Bigfoot sightings, too, out there? They don't get too many, huh? But I don't remember looking at the database.
Well, they do
that.
They do have quite a few Bigfoot sightings out there. You know, Maine's actually quite forested, and I believe Finding Bigfoot did a show out there as well. But I believe they have quite a few reports out there. Some are a little strange, if I remember right. I think there was one where a Bigfoot apparently walked into a house, but it's another little area, you know, that does get Bigfoot reports. And they do get a lot of sea serpent reports. I mean, that date back a couple hundred years or so, if I'm not mistaken, Jay.
No, there has been a history in that area.
Yeah, I just took a dogman report for Washington, Maine. Looks like there's that's been going on out there too as well.
Well, Lauren Coleman lives out in Maine. He has his museum out there. I think he's probably got a wealth of knowledge on a lot of the cryptid world sightings out there. Have you ever been in touch with Lauren Coleman, Jay?
Yeah, I have communicated with him a few times.
Yeah, and have you ever talked about his thoughts on the water cryptids out there?
I did get to hear his thoughts on the Naden Harbor carcass.
Yeah.
The alleged Cadborosaurus carcass. But it's not like I've had regular communication with him.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. I know he's a wealth of knowledge and has written many books and has his own stuff going on.
So what do you got planned for the new year, Jay? Anything exciting on the horizon?
No, not that much. Just trying to prep the blogs for the school year once again, because I don't get to do much there when school comes around again.
What grade are you going into?
I'm a sophomore currently.
Okay.
So 10th grade.
Oh, you're on winter break now. Gotcha.
Yes.
Nice.
What are your plans for when you get out of school? What are you majoring in?
I'm thinking about getting a PhD in zoology or a related field.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say you're already a cryptozoologist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely. All you got to do is read the guy's blogs and figure out that he's got a lot going on for him.
If anyone's one, it's you.
Right.
Thank you.
But, great having you call in, Jay, and wish you luck with the, you know, wish you a happy new year and luck with 2014, and really look forward to future postings and blogs and your career, and I hope to hear a lot more from you.
Yep, thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
I think, you know, I wonder if you should be able to apply some of this to some school work, huh? Maybe some of these writings and tie that into some of...
Yeah, Jay's, you know, he's created quite an interest, not just on the online community, but throughout a lot of different fields. I mean, he's, you know, he's ahead of the game. You know, he's a young guy, and he's a very intelligent young guy.
He seems to be a well-rounded crypto freak, but with kind of focuses on the water cryptids, huh?
Yeah, and those fascinate me because, like I said, the ocean is just so vast.
Yeah, you're from Scotland, so you grew up with those that lore.
Yeah, grew up with Nessie and a few others. So
did we here, though. I mean, those growing up for me, it was Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot. Those were the two cool ones. You know, they don't have a Bigfoot really out there, do they? Or they got the Gray Man or something out in Scotland?
Yeah, they have the... In Scotland, you have the stories of the Gray Men.
But, you know, I looked that up, and I remember the one encounter or whatever was, like, pretty weak. It was like I heard footsteps as I walked down the mountain. He never saw anything.
Yeah, it was misty, and he heard – yeah, I know. I read almost all of them.
I'm like,
I have
that's a story, you know.
Yeah. No, I have relatives that live out there and hike all the time. Ben Nevis and around Loch Gilpet and some of the other areas out there, Loch Lomond. I mean, just a lot of the areas out there, and they know the area well. And there's no Bigfoot out there. There's the forests
too
are
small.
It's just too small. The forests are too small. Now, some of the wildcat.
And we would have heard of it, you know, as much as we've studied. Well, you're from there, as much you know, studied, you know, European history.
Yeah,
there's they've recorded it pretty good there,
very well.
So
yeah,
I
don't.
There would be something, you know.
I don't think there's any chance of a Sasquatch living there or anything related to that.
No,
I do believe
those Highlanders slayed them all.
Well, yeah, I do believe there's a chance that there's some of these wildcat sightings or panther sightings out there because. In small populations, I think those are possible.
Did you,
plenty of food.
And then supposedly the saber-toothed tiger was there, I don't know if it was 2,000 years ago or when the Romans got there, you know, that northern province of Scotland is it Caithness, which means cat something or other?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really sure.
That's believable.
I know that the Romans, when they... occupied England and Scotland, they brought over a lot of tigers and lions and various cats, and a lot of them got loose. And what happened after that, who knows? You know, I mean, they brought them over there for their games and for exotics and whatnot. So a lot of those got loose. Whether there's a remnant of that surviving there, you know, who knows? I don't know. But there is a lot of reports of, like, the Black Panther-type cat living there. And it could be in small populations. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stories and sightings there of that nature, and that would be a cryptid. So, you know, who knows? But that's one of the rare cryptids over there. There's not a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, they got Nessie, and that's been part of the lore ever since, was it around like 540 A.D. with St. Columba when the Scots first came there from Ireland, and you know, St. Columba, was he the kind of the religious figure of the tribe, and he supposedly quelled the Loch Ness Monster or whatever, you know, in front of the Pictish tribes or whatever, and
yeah,
it was a big deal. I remember reading about that. He had the power to subdue the beast. So it's been part of their written history for, you know, 1,500 years or whatever.
Well, definitely, you know, and I did a lot of research on it. When I lived there, I did a lot of research on some of the native folklore and whatnot, and it was fascinating. And then, you know, I moved to the States, and here I am researching Bigfoot and had encounters, and it blows my mind from where I came from to where I am now. It's almost like it was meant to be. But, you know.
Yeah, and you don't have an accent.
No, I don't. My dad, you know, I was just down in San Diego.
Did you? Obviously, when you moved here, you talked that way, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. All the girls wanted to hear my voice. It was funny. All the guys hated me.
What were you,
like
12?
I was like, okay. Yeah, I was like 12. Okay. Moving to boot, you know, from him to him.
It's
but,
funny because
no,
I hear a little bit of the Scottish accent and the Canadian and Minnesota accent.
Because we once ruled the world. We created the world.
Yeah, they were a big influence in Canada and Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
You get the whole Paul Bunyan, lumberjacks and flannels and...
I was down in San Diego, and I have a cousin over from Scotland right now, cousin Justin, and talking to him for about 10 minutes, and before I knew it, my bro was coming back, and I was talking to him, and I didn't even notice it, but one of my buddies was like, why are you talking like that? I'm like, talking like what? And he said, you're talking with an accent, and I had to step away because I was like, oh, I'm sounding like a dumbass, you know, why am I doing that? But it comes back pretty thick.
I guess it just must have been because you moved over when you were still young and your peers and other people didn't talk that way, so you were able to adapt and change. Because I know
I went
to the South for 2 years and it wasn't enough for me to start talking like that.
Well, it's like Apex, man. I love that guy's accent, you know. It's great. He's got a thick Southern accent.
I mean, but then again, where I lived was a, you know, kind of a cosmopolitan place. People were from all over, and I would talk like some of the people I worked with. And I started saying y'all, but, you know, once you're an adult, and I guess you come here, everyone's talking a certain way. It's a little bit different.
Right.
Well, but, looks like we're down to our last couple minutes here.
Yeah, so, Johnny, what do you expect in 2014, and what do you... what do you want to see happen or would like to see happen?
Well, I guess I'm not going to be, you know, I guess get my hopes up too high because 2013 was kind of a bruise to me after the Melba thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought DNA, we were hitting something hard there, you know. It's like, we got DNA now. You know, we might not have a body, but we got what's on the body. And I thought that was going to be the golden ticket to somewhat proving it. So, I mean, ultimately, I guess I'd like to see more productive research. You know, I've left a lot of these groups on Facebook because it just gets to be too much.
Yeah.
You know, try and be in ones that are less is more for me and some of the, because the stuff, everything travels like the speed of light on Facebook
right.
and online. So if something happens, you're going to know about it, but you know, I don't know. I just definitely want to wish everyone a happy new year. And hopefully 2014 will be the year of the foot.
Absolutely.
I just want to be out in the woods more. And I want, you know, ultimately my goal would be to have my own experience.
Yeah.
And that would be good enough for me.
Well, like I said, I hope you can make it out here. I'm not promising anything, but I could use your help, and I think that we could definitely bring a lot of evidence to the table and, you know, whatnot. Did we just get shut off there?
No, we got like 40 seconds.
Okay. So get out your butt out here, Johnny, and help me gather some evidence and have a great time out here. I hope everybody has a great and wonderful Happy New Year. Thanks, everybody that listens to Monster X. We're not the best show, but we strive to provide a great show. And we thank you all our
guests
that have joined us. The haters are going to hate, but great show, everybody. Thank you for joining us all year long and listening to us. And thank you for all our guests that have joined us and given their two cents and evidence and whatnot. And proud to say that I'm a member of Monster X Radio and look forward to great things in 2014.
Yep. We'll see you all next Sunday.